There's so much to be debated about demonetization, it seems, every single day. But in the run-up to the 30th of December, when the government had said that things would start getting better, are we at a stage when the glass is half empty or is it half full? And what about the jitters that the market feels at this stage for any announcement that the government seems to make in the effect or post the effect of demonetization? Joining us now to debate all of this, Gurcharan Das, the author of India Grows at Night and former CEO of Procter & Gamble. Thanks very much for being with us. Professor R. Vaidyanathan, Professor of Finance at IIM Bangalore with us as well, with me in the studio. Arun Kumar, economist and black money expert. Thanks very much, sir, for being back with us. Sambit Patra of the BJP and Sanjay Jha of the Congress. Let me come to you first, Professor Vaidyanathan. Just today in the markets, the Nifty slumped to a seven-month low. The Sensex tanked 234 points, erasing most of the gains of this entire year. It took one fairly innocuous statement from the Prime Minister to do this. And despite the fact that the Finance Minister issued a clarification on the taxation of long-term capital gains tax, no one was impressed and the market tanked. Are we living in worried times where the economy is shaky, the markets are shaky perhaps, and investors are perhaps worried as well about what happens next? Professor Vaidyanathan, can you hear me?
Oh, okay. I think the clarification has been clearly enunciated regarding the Prime Minister's statement. So I don't think there is any particular reason to have this panic. And I think this is only a short term. If you wait for another couple of days, again, market will pick up.
Sanjay, is that your sense as well, that whatever is happening now is a short-term panic? There is no reason to really panic. The fundamentals of the economy remain absolutely secure.
And you see, Sanjay, go ahead. Market moves by a lot of these rumors.
Yeah. Go ahead, Sanjay.
I believe, Vishnu, I believe that there is going to be a long-term repercussion of demonetization. There are certain structural impact is going to have on the Indian economy. It's already evident in terms of what's happening in the rural interiors of India. Over a period of time, some sectors which are very dependent on cash transactions are going to see a significant impact. Now, the truth is, and this is the hard reality that we need to confront today, is that in terms of volumes of transactions, over 90 to 95% of transactions in India have been cash driven. And let me assure you that a very minimal amount of that is really black money. So end of day, the entire objective, the fundamental purpose of demonetization as announced by the Prime Minister was to unearth black money. Now that itself was a flawed assumption, because the truth is that black money has already found shelter
and we'll
in
discuss
tax
that.
Havens abroad,
we'll certainly discuss
in bullion,
that, but I think
real estate,
the point
etc.
that I was trying so to I, raise, Sanjay, so I, is are the markets spooked?
Right.
Are the markets spooked as an impact of demonetization?
Well, let me tell you, the Prime Minister made a statement a couple of days ago where he talked about raising revenues through securities taxation. Obviously, the stock market is going to react to that in a very adverse fashion. You have today the Finance Minister saying he wants to lower taxes, which was meant to be some kind of a palliative. Now, you can't play headline-grabbing games with a strong economy that India needs to now show to the world. I think we have completely lost that opportunity. But the real issue, in my opinion, Vishnu, is that the economy per se is not ready to become digital and cashless.
Okay, we'll
we don't have that kind
of
bandwidth
points
in India.
We've
and there is a lack of digital
that.
Security.
We'll discuss that. Sambit, I just want to get a reaction from you on what's happened at the markets today. The Nifty slumping to a seven-month low, the Sensex tanking 234 points, possibly because of the statement by the Prime Minister, despite the clarification.
See, you have also considered to the fact that possibly because of the statement made by the Prime Minister, which has been rightly clarified by the Finance Minister. So if it was based on a speculation, I don't believe any reason as to why we should be having a long debate just on a speculation. The speculation, the air around the speculation has been cleared, so the matter should rest finally. Over here, since we are discussing demonetization, we all are aware of the fact, and there are experts to corroborate that, that there would be short-term pain and there would be long-term gains. But interestingly, Vishnu, what has happened in these days is, with all due respect to Vaidyanathan ji, Gurumurthy, and the other economists who are present over here, including Professor Arun Kumar, they are economists. But the interesting part is, those who are not even economists, we all are commenting in a way as if we used to do during the cricket matches. We became cricket experts. Before the budget, we all used to become budget experts, and we used to give our own taxation formulas. That is what has happened, ironically, in the country, that we all who are not even economists are trying to wear a mask of economists, and this is not fine. This is not good. Thirdly, this war against black money, I mean, my good friend Sanjay Jha was saying that the Prime Minister misled the country in saying that this is only a fight against black money. Remember, such a huge step as remonetization naturally would have multiple aims, multiple goals. One of the prime goal is to curb the black money, the others being terrorism, okay. Fight against terrorism, suffocating Naxalism, counterfeit currency, digitalization of the cash in India, that is moving towards a less cash society rather than a cashless society. So all these are coming together, such a huge step, a mammoth step. Do you believe, should not we give some amount of patience? Should not we give some amount of time?
Okay, that's a fair point. We need to be patient. Gurcharan Das, now that we've got you, I don't want to belabor this point beyond a certain extent. But I just really want to get your views on the slump in the markets today. Why are people jittery despite a clarification? Is there a sense that the hard moves this government makes might actually adverse sentiment?
Well, you know, there are many things that are affecting markets, including what happens with the U.S. Rates and so on. So it's difficult to say what exactly causes markets to go up and down. But I would say that the demonetization has affected the sentiment of the market, as it has affected consumer sentiment, as it has affected investor sentiment, as it has affected the sentiment of producers. So you're just focusing on the market, but my worry is that actually that we may be heading for a recession with this move, and that means jobs. Jobs will be lost. What Mr. Modi promised us, and why we voted for Mr. Modi, was the most important part was jobs. And you know, if we drop 1 percentage point in economic growth, we are going to lose 15 lakh direct jobs, and each job creates 3 indirect jobs. That's 45 lakhs. And so that's 65 lakhs in total. And each job supports 5 people. So you're going to cause pain to 3 crore people with 1% growth. The question now is, how long will it take before we recover to normalcy? People are making the mistake in thinking that this normalcy will come about once the cash becomes, you know, the market, the country becomes liquid, etc. But no, it will take much longer. It will take to get this.
Mr. Das, at this rate, how much sooner before you think there'll be enough cash in the system? Is it a fair assumption to make that there will not be as much cash in liquid cash in the system, because the goal of this government is to move away from cash? Therefore, the assumption that, look, okay, it's not happened now, it'll happen a few months later, it'll all come back, that assumption, would you say, is wrong?
You know, I mean, I agree with the desire of the government to move the economy much more into a formal economy, reduce our dependence on cash. That's what a modern economy looks like. And so the long-term goal is a good one. And there will be rewards at the end of even the demonetization. There will be rewards. Savings rate of the economy will go up. Deposit rate in banks will go up. Taxes will go up. Tax to GDP will go up. But that's far away. What I'm worried about for our economy is the next year or two.
Okay.
I mean, this, you're talking about how long will it take to get stability. I had suggested when the demonetization happened, I said immediately outsource the printing of the currency, because we've done it before.
Right.
And we've dealt with presses before.
Okay, so I take your point, Mr. Das, that you know, it's a question of time. How much more time will it take? We don't know that right now. And you argue that it'll take more as opposed to less for things to be righted. So let me come to you.
Because sentiment is
Affected. Mr. Arun Kumar, One of the things that the government has now said, in fact, the Prime Minister in his Mann Ki Baat said it yesterday, is that they are going to crack down on Benami properties. And the sense and the criticism of the government has been, look, you know, you say you're going to fight black money. Demonetization alone doesn't control black money. But now they have gone ahead and they have said that they're going to act on amendments which have been made to the law. People could be jailed for up to 7 years. Isn't this a strong statement of commitment to the cause and the fight against corruption?
You know, making these statements is one thing and implementing them is another thing. You know, we had the bill to bring back foreign black money, which was pretty draconian. Yep. You had 90% penalty and you had 10 years of jail provision, etc. But, you know, that only got 4,000 crores, whereas CBI had estimated that you had $500 billion abroad. Yep. So you didn't even get $1 billion. And the reason is that there's no provision to bring that money back or identify who had it. Similarly, in this bill, you don't have a provision as to how do you identify who has Benami property. Property is there. Everybody knows there's property. But whose property is it? Who's the real beneficiary? That is very difficult to find out. So unless you begin to have wealth taxation, unless you begin to have proper property taxation, etc., and we know how our cities are starved of funds.
Is this going to be a wild goose chase?
So it will be a problem, you know. So meaning it should be tried. There's no doubt there's Benami property, but it should be properly done. So what my problem is that the government is taking steps, but it's not preparing in advance. That's the problem with demonetization. And that's why you had so many, ordinances which have come in, so many notifications that have come in. So people are guessing as to what will happen. For instance, today there's a new notification saying that if you carry more than 10,000 rupees of old notes, there'll be a fine of 50,000. Yep. So there's one more notification. And that's why people are worried. And, you know, stock markets are all about sentiment. Sentiment gets affected if there's uncertainty. And uncertainty is growing. And as Gurcharan has said, that there's already the economy is sliding towards a recession. If recession deepens, then the long-term problems come in, and that's where the stock market gets spooked. The moment there's a further announcement, especially the announcement made by the Prime Minister about the stock market, that spooked them. And no doubt, under the present circumstances, they will get spooked because they don't know what is coming next. Where are we heading towards next? And this fear of recession is deepening. And that's why I think, you know, people are getting very, very worried.
Sambit, I just want to come back to the point on tracking down on Benami properties. Now, district registrars, land record departments will dig out the names of Benami property holders. This has not happened so far. The law exists right now. Again, in terms of implementing this, how is it realistically going to work?
See, Vishnu, in fact, right now I was listening to Professor Arun Kumar, and he rightly agreed to the fact that Benami properties does exist. Each one of us over here in the panel would agree to the fact that a large chunk of corrupt money is parked through Benami properties. But despite all the previous governments knowing this, none thought that it was wise enough to act against this Benami property. Let me thank Mr. Modi and let me thank this government that, yes, we have problems. Things cannot be solved overnight. But despite that, they have shown the courage to take head-on against all these corrupt dispensations, against all these corrupt mechanisms. And since 1988, all the government that followed thereafter could not lay out the rules against Benami properties. See, I always maintain that the fight against corruption is not an all or none phenomena. Either you attack all things together and let the day after tomorrow be a corruption-free day, or you do not attack at all.
Okay.
Well, yes, the fight has begun. Gradually, we will win the fight.
Okay, Sanjay,
not to begin a fight would have been a bad move.
Sanjay, what's wrong in what he said? The Congress has done nothing in the past to take on Benami properties. At least now this government has an intention. We seem to be criticizing them, myself included, before they've even started the process. Is that being fair?
Well, let me tell you, I mean, every time the BJP talks about corruption, I almost choke. I mean, this is the same Mr. Narendra Modi who maintains such an extraordinary silence on the Panama Papers. I mean, you know, you have the entire list of black money, you know, people who are accused of having parked them abroad available with the government. But have you heard even an iota of sound, noise or action from this government? The answer is no, because end of day, they are protecting the big sharks. It's a common man in the queues who basically pays
but
the price,
Sanjay, when the
for
Congress
Mr. Modi's personal theatrics.
Fingers at Mr. Modi, for example, the Sahara Diary, it unfortunately seems to backfire on the Congress party. Since you're raising this issue, you've got names of Sheila Dixit, Salman Khurshid, and others mentioned over there as well. So if you're pointing names, shouldn't you actually be looking, you know, at your own turf?
I will answer that. Vishnu, I will answer that. But let me just give you the second point on corruption. The Congress party led UPA passed the Lokpal Act in 2013, which was accepted by the entire country as a very strong anti-corruption infrastructure legislation. 4 years later, the government has done nothing. It gets reprimanded by the Supreme Court of India. So let us cut out this moral grandstanding by the BJP. As far as the Sahara Birla papers are concerned, let me tell you, Mr. Rahul Gandhi has taken the bull by the horns. He has the courage of a conviction to say,
the name of your UP chief ministerial candidate is mentioned over there. I mean, isn't it an embarrassment to have Sheila Dixit's name over there?
India's Prime Minister, Narendra Modi, the so-called paragon of virtues, is named.
Right,
so
he is the paragon of virtues, that shouldn't be the expectation. All right, look, I want to get
let
back to...
Let everybody be scrutinized. That's what Mr. Gandhi is saying. That's what the Congress Party is saying. And let me reassure you,
very briefly,
we have done our entire due diligence.
It was unavoidable for me to come in on that point, Sambit, very quickly, and then we'll get back to the serious stuff. All the serious professors and economists on this program are deeply upset at the direction this is going. Very briefly, Sambit.
Yeah, I'm so sorry the seniors are waiting, but I'm so sorry because a direct attack on the Prime Minister has been made. I really need to come in and clarify. Number one, my friend saying that Congress Vice President Mr. Rahul Gandhi has taken the bull by the horn. Hello, sir. It is not a bull by the horn. It is a dead horse. You are flogging a dead horse. Because none other than the Supreme Court, and I should read out and finish my statement.
Just a second.
The Supreme Court on the Sahara emails, the Supreme Court reads thus. Sahara Group documents are not genuine. They are fictitious, zero, and not authentic. We cannot start an investigation based
utter
on
nonsense.
These evidences.
The matter is
when the Supreme Court double judge...
That is not a
sir,
judgment.
I was, sir, I was not interjecting. Sir,
don't
I was not interjecting.
Viewers,
can you please... Can you
don't
please allow me to complete, sir?
Viewers.
I was not... Can I please complete, Vishnu, by your permission? I was not misbehaving like Sanjay Jha. I was not shouting in the middle.
All right, just quickly make your point because I want to get back to the thing. Yeah.
Yes, Sanjay is right that these are oral observations. The oral observation of Supreme Court is not to be quoted, but oral observation of Mr. Rahul Gandhi is sacrosanct. What do you mean to say? That Rahul Gandhi is far superior to the Supreme Court? No, sir. Get your confusion. He may be superior to you. For the nation, Supreme Court is supreme, not Mr. Rahul Gandhi.
Okay. All right. Okay. Professor Vaidyanathan, you've been waiting for a while. Another move the government has taken is an ordinance. I want you to reflect on this, sir. The government is planning to issue an executive order to bring a new law which will have penal provisions in the case you're caught with possession and transferring and receiving of old currency, 500 and 1,000 rupee notes. This has to be issued before the 30th of this month. So in other words, they are absolutely closing the door on anyone depositing or transferring any of the old currency. If it's not there before that, if it's there after that, it's completely illegal. Again, in line with the thinking of this government, that it's not just one move, it's several moves. Isn't this something that needs to be welcomed? Professor Vaidyanathan.
If you permit me,
yeah,
I have
please, sir,
three points
ahead.
To make on this issue. First is, everybody is talking, 85% of the currency is in 500 and 1,000 as of March 2016. How did we come to this situation? It used to be 35% and it creeped to 50 and then it has become 85 during the period of 10 years. I think a commission should investigate very seriously the role of the RBI governors and finance ministers in creating such a skewed situation of the currency.
Okay.
Because for the last 4-5 years, anything less than 5 rupees I have been getting eclair and mango bites only. No change or anything. They could have declared to be our legal tender.
All right, okay.
I wrote to the then RBI governor actually.
Vishnu, one point.
First point. Second point.
Yes, sir.
Is people are, I think including Professor Manmohan Singh, I am surprised. He says, lot of black money is in the form of real estate and now the question is, one side of the balance sheet is real estate, other side is currency. If I sell a flat for 60 lakhs and then get 40 lakh in a check and 20 lakh in currency, that 20 lakh is with me now from the buyer. So it is not obliterated. Let's be very, very clear. Black money in the form of currency exists.
Okay.
And it has been deliberately, this 500,000 got skewed in order to facilitate carrying that black money.
All right, that's a strong point. Would you agree, Professor Kumar?
No, I think any economy as it grows, especially when inflation takes place.
Let me finish, please.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me tell the third point.
Yes.
Third is holding of cash by an individual, whether new currency or old currency, beyond, say, let's say 10 lakh or 12 lakh or 15 lakh, should be made a crime by itself.
Okay.
Now, today you can hold any amount of cash. Sukram held crores in his pillow, under his pillow.
Okay, sir, I take your three points. I want to put that across to other panelists. The point being that, look, we are not eradicating black money by any means.
Right, yeah. So, in a sense, what we do is we earn an income, and then out of that we create our wealth, and then of the wealth, we hold it in different forms. Cash is only a tiny part, less than 1%. So, if you eradicate the black cash, you're eradicating only 1% of the black wealth, and very little of the black income, because the black income generation continues.
I think accounting 101 tells,
as he says,
on the other side of
the
balance
increase in the supply of 500 and 1,000
rupee
currency
note,
that takes place because actually inflation is taking place and there's a growth of the economy. So the economy has grown something like 12 times in the last 15 years. So in other words, you need to have that much more cash.
Yep.
And that's why 500 and 1,000 rupee currency note is coming in. It's not that it is all black. Second point I want to make in this context is if you take that there is 17.5 lakh crores of currency in circulation to the public and divide by 125 crore people, that comes to only 11,000 rupees per person. So it's not as if everybody is holding crores of rupees. Even if you assume that there are only 3% of the population who are earning black incomes, even then they are holding only about some like 4 lakh rupees per person
right. In
the black. So it's not as if people are holding 10 lakh, 50 lakh. But yes, there are some people who hold 50 crores, some people who hold 20, 30,000 rupees. So this elimination of black cash is not the way to deal with the black economy. That's the central point. And problem is that because cash is in circulation, black cash is in circulation, white cash is in circulation, it circulates the economy. The moment that stops, the economy starts heading towards a recession. And that is the big problem, as Gurcharan Das had pointed out, that we are facing today. So you're not eliminating the black economy, but the main economy is actually going into a crisis.
Gurcharan Das, we're running out of time. I just want to reflect on a couple of numbers. Banking penetration in our country, the numbers vary. The minimum number is 46%. Some say it goes up to about 55%. People don't dispute that internet connectivity is only 22%. 19% of the population is without an electricity connection. Only 1.2 million of 14 million merchants have point of sales devices. That number has gone up drastically in the last couple of weeks. But I think the bottom line is this. Realistically, with these numbers, do we have the infrastructure to move to step B, the next step, to go towards a less cash society?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have the infrastructure right now, but it's coming. But this was not the way to do it, obviously. I think the debate on black money is where I wanted to contribute something.
Okay.
I think even the Benami bill, while it's well-intentioned, is really catching a crook after he has done something crooked, like the Lokpal. You know, the answer to solving black money and corruption is to really get hold of the problem that generates black money. And this is a problem that relates to administrative discretion, how the officer deals with a citizen. And so there was a very good suggestion made by Sri Justice Krishna, who actually came out with a wonderful report called the Indian Financial Code. Let's look back at the Indian Financial Code, which will reduce the incentive to create black money.
Right.
Similarly, in real estate, black money is created because of very high stamp duty. Very few countries in the world have stamp duty. This is an old 19th century tax. Most countries just have capital gains tax and property tax,
okay. Which
is what we should have. Third, it is political party funding that is related to creation of black money. And here too, I think they are talking about reforms on reducing the limit from 20,000 to 2,000, but why not make all political funding required absolutely, whether it's 10 rupees online.
Okay.
So all these steps are the ones that are going to
be
stop
more substantive in fighting black money.
Not
what you're saying.
The ones.
All right, somebody wanted
yeah,
to comment.
Yeah, you clear the swamps.
Okay, Sambit, yes.
You have to clear the swamps.
With all due respect to the seniors, and since we are running short of time, I would just say this is like an egg and the chicken phenomena. Like, which came first? I mean, like, the attack has to be on the black money, and thankfully the attack has been made. Now saying that we should have first seen that we should have become aware enough not to raise the black money, not to in fact constitute Benami properties, would be like, well, let's teach people first, let them all be educated, and then tomorrow they would all be law-abiding citizens. Till then, let's keep our eyes closed. I believe, well, Mr. Gurucharan Das, with good intentions, he said this, but I believe a government which was voted to power because of the fact that we would curb corruption, the corruption which has reached the topmost pinnacle during
Mr.
the reign
Patra,
of
your
UPA
government has
would be finished.
On its face.
That's what we are doing. And that's
your
what we are doing. And the common man on the street,
choose,
common man on the street
it's an
is standing behind the Prime Minister on this.
All right, we're going to end this debate over here. I'd like to thank all
Serve
of you very much.
Egg to Mr. Rahul Gandhi, Mr. Sanjay Jha.
All right, the pot shots will continue if I don't end now. I'd like to thank
Save
both of
breakfast.
You. For thank all of you, in fact, but both of you for those political pot shots at each other. I think the run-up to the 30th is going to be absolutely critical. We're going to have to reflect on what we've achieved so far as this massive historic move is concerned. Yes, there are problems, but the road ahead seems to be clear. There are going to be lots of challenges. This government will perhaps be the first to admit that the road ahead is not going to be absolutely smooth. The issue, as Gurcharan raised, was of time. How much more time will it take before things settle down? And perhaps it will take a while yet.